You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Tonight is not the night, but today is the day we're talking Dexter New Blood. Obviously, I'm not Josh Wigler. He is. He had some stuff going on, so we're covering for him here. I'm Jess Sterling. And of course, I'm not alone. I'm also joined by Grace Leader. Grace, how are you?
I'm good. Glad to be back. Yeah,
we're talking some more Dexter. We've got this season is ramping up.
It is ramping up, yeah.
I feel like it's been ramping up the entire time.
That's true. That's kind of the thing with a show about a serial killer, tends to be tense, you know?
Yeah, every episode is very tense. So we're here talking episode 7 of Dexter New Blood. Wild stuff here. Just all the Kurt stuff and the Kurt in jail and then the Kurt not in jail. I never thought that he would be this smart. I don't know. Did you get the impression that Kurt was a smarter guy when the season started?
Smart. I don't think that his, I thought, there's some stuff in this episode that I'm I feel like both sides of the case are flimsy somehow.
Yeah.
We found literally the name of the episode, Skin on Her Teeth. That was not what I was expecting, the reference to this episode. So I find that that side is flimsy. But then when they're then the DNA match, you're okay, great. And then the district attorney, whatever, is no, God, we're going to drop it. It's only a 67% chance.
Only 67%.
I was are you, what? I guess policing in America. I don't know.
Yeah.
the justice system. But I don't know if I still think he's smart. I mean, he certainly wields a ton of power.
Fair. Maybe he's not so much smart as he's an affluent member of the community and therefore is able to get away with a little bit more. But this episode was a lot. We get the answer on what happened to Iris. Mm-hmm. And we even get a flashback scene, which was amazing. Totally breaks my theory that Audrey was Iris's daughter. So confirmation that is not true at all.
Right.
I just assumed that, we were going to find out who Audrey's parent was, because usually it's oh, it's someone,
Yeah.
But that's not true.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, no twist coming. Well, maybe there still could be a twist. This is if Dexter New Blood runs for seven seasons.
Finally,
Audrey's mom is Dexter.
yes. We get. I mean, so much going on. We have Angela arresting Kurt getting out of jail. Basically, we have Molly and Angela having an important conversation. So much to get into. So let's dive right in. Grace, what do you think is like the most important topic to cover first on this episode? Because there's a lot.
Well, I do think, I mean, it is the Kurt of it all. I would assume is Dexter and Kurt. And I was very surprised that at the beginning of this episode is sort of like, we thought that this was going to be a cat and mouse game of, you know, who can get to Kurt first. Was it Dexter or is it the police? And, you know, I do think what I sort of have loved about Dexter New Blood is that this isn't the same Dexter that we saw very early on. It is the show feels like early Dexter, but with a Dexter that has evolved. And so this Dexter basically is going to trust that the police department can get Kurt, basically. It's like, okay, I won't have to kill him.
Yeah, I like this evolution of the show because I think it makes sense that they are in a small town and Dexter is smart enough to realize, like, listen, if I take Kurt out right now, number one, like, it's a big deal in this small town for him to go missing. And number two, I think for him is allowing Harrison to see that Kurt is a bad guy, and allowing, you know, Harrison to kind of figure that out himself, because if Kurt goes missing, he'll never learn that lesson, I guess, which is kind of funny to me considering, like, dude, like, your son has like real issues, and like, I don't think it matters if he thinks Kurt is a bad guy or not, because he literally carries around a straight razor and attacks people with it. So I think you've got bigger fish to fry, Dexter.
But... well, you know, maybe. I don't know. He's serial killer dad trying to figure it out, you know? Yeah.
Just like all of us.
Just like all of us.
It's so relatable.
Yes. I will give Dexter New Blood credit as well. Last week I said, I was like, that hand is like far too preserved to be you know, there after that many years. And then Dexter, the forensic expert, is helping her like check out the body, do forensics analysis. And he's like, well, must have been the cold preserved this. I still don't know if that's true, but I will give the show credit for being like, hey, that thing you had a problem with last week, here's the like justified answer. Don't worry about it.
I feel like it's only if they're like super, super cold. Like, I mean, upstate New York gets cold. I live in upstate New York.
It's freezing.
that cold, but.
But in this like cave system, I don't know, maybe it's like a refrigerator, you know?
I loved seeing, because we've only seen like Jim, right? Like for the most part, like we've heard Dexter because he does like the voiceover and everything, but with Angela, we have only seen Dexter as Jim. And I kind of loved having like Dexter as Dexter, where he's just like, you know, examining the body. He notices that she has like the hole in the high school t-shirt she's wearing. And then of course there's like a hole coming out the back. So he knows she was shot from behind, from a distance, probably with a rifle. She was dragged and buried here after. She was still alive when she was buried.
Horrifying. That's awful. I know it's bad, but like, that's bad.
It's very bad. I understand. At least he was like, are you sure you want to like know the dirty details? I know this is your friend. Like, nice of him to at least ask. And here's the thing though. Like, he's like walking all over the crime scene, and I'm just like, you know, this is still a crime scene, Dexter. Like, he's just, you know, he's just walking all over, touching the body, all those things.
Yeah, I will. This has got to be, you know, up there for like, again, poor detective work from it to not like, I think just like, I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fun that Dexter is the one like examining the body and figuring it out.
But we know, and like that original guy that figured out that, that Matt smashed his head on that rock. Like, that guy was pretty capable.
I definitely thought there was going to be a thing here where like Dexter finds something that like he's able to hide from Angela. But like, again, new Dexter, that's not this guy.
That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to basically get to the point where they can convict Kurt.
He finds a tooth that still has skin underneath it. And he's like, she definitely attacked her attacker and self-defense and tried to escape. So he pulls the tooth out and puts it in a baggie for, you know, to test the DNA on it. Gross.
I mean, me out. Gosh, Dexter doesn't even have glasses in it. Look at that eyesight on Dexter to catch the skin on the teeth. Gosh,
Here's the thing. Dried blood and skin and stuff to me would probably just look like dirt because it gets brown. It's not red. So I'm like, dang, Dexter. Like, it's a dark, cold cave and he can still spot skin and blood from a mile away.
I didn't comment on this last week, but they didn't bring any glow sticks in. It does actually seem kind of like useful. I get when I saw that she's like chucking them ahead and like also it's like a, you know, to keep your trail in the cave. But just Dexter able to spot the skin in her teeth from a mile away. Dexter, you better not have anything in your teeth when you go for dinner with Dexter. He will notice.
He'll spot it. He'll
be like, can I get that for you? And he pulls out your entire tooth.
Did you have bacon for breakfast?
Yeah, I see. Let me just,
So Angela has a theory. She says Kurt is her theory. And Dexter's just like, yeah. Get him. Get Kurt. I know it's Kurt.
You go.
So we find out as well that Harrison is still on the wrestling team. Tell me how he didn't get kicked off the team for breaking a kid's arm.
You know, no suspension. No
kids
nothing.
Will be kids. Teens will be teens. Just breaking each other's arms. No big deal.
It's pretty bad. Like, yeah, there's really no justification for Harrison to be able to stay on the team. But for some reason, they really
saw it happen.
Yeah, some reason they really want Harrison on the wrestling team in the show. Like, I don't know. Like, if we're not getting another wrestling scene before the end of the season, right?
That's what I don't get. I would have rather just had him like kicked off the team, but it's still a thing happening. And then we get a very awkward breakfast scene where I couldn't help but notice that like Dexter and Harrison literally eat the same exact way.
Yeah, it's really good. It's great. Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it was you who said this on a podcast or maybe I'm just dreaming that you said this, but I've always felt the same way where it bothers me when people like they have like food in front of them and they literally don't touch a single thing of it before they leave a scene.
I did say that. It's like, yeah, it's like you'll be watching a TV show and they're like be up in the morning and they're like, I got you breakfast. And they're like, great. I got to go to school. They do plot points and then they just leave their whole breakfast.
Yeah. At least we saw Harrison eat some of it and take some of it with him.
Is that later? No, I don't know. He doesn't eat Harrison's food, does he?
No. So we get that whole scene and then we get Dexter v. Deb about the whole Kurt thing. And Deb is, because she's the monster or what is it called? The dark passenger.
The dark passenger. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you have to kill Kurt. You have to kill him. And Dexter has faith in Angela that Angela will be able to arrest him and Harrison will see that he's truly terrible. And he shouldn't be working at this drug stop. Like, what weird parenting. Like, I'm not saying he should kill Kurt, but like I don't exactly understand, like I don't understand Dexter's thought process here where like, okay, we need him to know that Kurt is terrible, but like why do we need him to know that?
Dexter, he's struggling to be a good dad, you know, and this is like the one time his instincts are right. That like Harrison is like buddying up with this guy that he knows kills women. And so I do feel like in this specific instance, like Dexter is still so worried about even, you know, I think a lot of us were like, this will be the thing where like Dexter trains Harrison. And I don't know that we're going there.
It seems like he's trying to actively avoid that. We're like, instead of being completely open and honest with his son, which I feel like the cat's out of the bag at this point, like just be honest with him. Instead of doing that, he's like trying to pretend like Harrison isn't completely traumatized and scarred by events of his life. He's trying to just say like he could be a normal kid. It's like, no, dude, you're a serial killer and that's your son. And there's obviously something going on.
Yeah. Part of me is like, I'm not sure that this would be better if Dexter was just instantly a good dad, you know? I don't know that this is, I just don't know that that's who Dexter is. And again, we've seen this like evolution of Dexter clearly from like what we saw in the earlier seasons of this show to now. And I did talk a little bit before about how Dexter used to be somebody who like he was with Rita just for like convenience, right? Like that was right. All. And whether we kind of like assume like he doesn't really have like maybe is not capable of loving people. And I think that right. that's not true. I don't think that that's where they've gone, but he also is just so messed. I mean, you know, the sins of your father, you know, passed down to you.
Yeah.
His dad trained him to be a serial killer. And he's like trying to figure out he doesn't want to do that. And also just like, doesn't really know what like regular fatherhood should look like. So it's very, the one thing I'll say yeah. that I'm not loving is Deb shows up early on in this show as Dexter's new dark passenger and is very like, what the heck are you doing? What the F are you doing? Why are you doing this? Harrison's going to find out. It's all going to, you're going to blow up this whole thing. And I feel like it's been a very quick turn from Deb being this, like, she says a little while, she says, you got to take care of Molly. When Dexter yeah. thinks that Molly has is doing like a podcast on him and actually is yep. not here about anything else. And then this, it's like, you got to take care of Kurt. And I do feel like that's a bit different of the Deb that we saw very early on, which was very much like,
yeah,
you've been doing good. Like almost like not so of a dark passenger and much more of like, you know, like a sponsor, you know, like
what if they Dexter killing Matt kind of reinvigorated the dark passenger of Deb, and she's a little bit like blood hungry or like has this bloodlust for like, oh, I got a little bit of taste of the killing, and now, you know, she needs her fix.
It's a good theory because the dark passenger is like a figment of Dexter's imagination, right? It's Dexter
exactly
creating something out of nothing, right? So it does, I guess that is fair that like but I feel like would we have seen more? maybe it was really the wood chipper that really wicked something in Deb.
I think we're assigning that to the show. I don't know that the show is necessarily going in that direction, but like if we as the viewer treat it as like an addiction, and you know Dexter has been clean for 10 years and then he gets one simple fix of killing, I mean, I can see how that, I mean, like you said, Deb is a figment of his imagination. There's a portion of him that wants to kill. And so I think that is enough for him to have Deb be like, instead of Deb being the one who's like, oh, you need to take care of Harrison and oh, you're being such a good dad and blah, blah, blah. No, she's like, okay, we need to kill Kurt and we need to kill Molly and we need to kill everybody. Like she's has this bloodlust out.
It's just interesting. Deb is basically, you know, Deb is sort of Dexter's little inner voice, right? And like we don't all have a Deb Morgan in our head. I wish Deb was like right here. Hey, like that was a dumb thing to say on the podcast. F nugget. In some ways, basically like his conversations with Deb have basically all been her telling him the opposite of what he currently wants to do, right? Which is a little bit of the like, you know, just like sort of, I debate myself all the time. Like, should I do this? Should I do that thing? Which one should I do? Should I do it or should I not do it?
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether she's the devil or the angel on his shoulder. Why not? You know. Yeah, exactly. So Dexter tells Angela, we see about the Molly situation with Kurt. And like, I think like this is bad on Dexter that he doesn't tell her in the moment when they find Iris's body, because she's suspicious of it. She's just like, why didn't you tell me about this last night? Why are you waiting until now? So they drive out to Kurt's cabin, and Angela has never heard of this place before, which obviously is a bad sign because she like knows this town better than anybody, as she says. Mm-hmm. And obviously a secret cabin in the woods is kind of sketch. Dexter brings her in there, and Angela speculates that what if Iris was just the first of many, which I think we all kind of knew was the case, considering Iris is like the oldest case of a woman disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in this the cabin, and it's just nothing. Smells like bleach and is like ripped to shreds, like nothing is left.
Yeah, so it's also so creepy. And I guess the choice between it staying there and there being like bits of evidence in there versus just completely getting rid of it, I guess Kurt, that's the right call, but also super sketch to just destroy the whole room, dude.
I mean, I think at this point he knows because, right, like Dexter is dating Angela, the chief of police. He knows that Dexter is eventually going to tell her, and it's certainly better for him to have no evidence there because as much as they want to speculate, great. That doesn't mean that he can get convicted on speculation. Yeah, right of him to clean it out. And Dexter's like, you know, there was a camera here. Like, oh, you know what? I'm very upset that the soaker tub was ripped out. Like,
man, what a waste of a good soaker tub.
Seriously, what a waste. Like, I would have used, I mean, not in the creepy cabin, but, nice soaker tub. Yeah. And then we get the voiceover of Dexter. I may have to kill him.
Like, this is like this very clear evidence that he's destroyed the thing. And you're like, well, the police will never solve it now.
Gotta kill him.
Definitely wasn't a camera, and there's definitely not DNA, you know, all that stuff. You know?
Nope, that's it. That's the last straw. I gotta kill him. Yep. So then we get like the super awkward scene between Harrison and Audrey, where he wants to hang out over winter break. She's like, oh, I gotta lie low. My mom is like super pissed about, you know, like you like having sex with me and staying the night. Like, and she, I love Audrey here because she's just like, listen, I like you, but like you totally broke that kid's arm on purpose every time he tapped out. Like, you're kind of a weirdo and you're like kind of a really bad guy.
Well, you know, it's, I think that like the last episode when he's like, I want to hurt everybody all the time. And she's like, don't we all? And then like at the wrestling match, she's like, I'm going to break this kid's arm. And she's like, not like that. I'm going to emotionally hurt people.
She's like, I want to emotionally hurt people, not physically break people's arms. What you've got going on is like a bit much.
I wanted to like yell at people and tell them they're bad people. I wanted to throw coffee, you know, or like the protest at the like thing. You like broke that guy's
arm. Yeah, Audrey's like, I want to do normal teenager things and like rebel against my parents. You want to like break people's arms. Yeah. So
no, like teenage angst, you know? Like not like not
killer angst.
That's serial killer angst.
Yeah, and Harrison is just like, okay, bye. Like he just leaves, and I'm like, Harrison, like you look so suspicious, dude.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Fine, like no big deal.
I never even liked you anyway, so whatever.
He's like, I didn't really want to hang out anyway, so like, bye. Like some of the teenage angst stuff in this show cracks me up. Being an adult now, is very funny. I love Audrey. I don't know that I've talked about it much on the podcast, but I think she is one of the better characters just because she's very smart and very intuitive. And like, as much as she likes Harrison and is intrigued by Harrison, she's not someone who just drops things like I think other characters do, right? Like she hears Harrison say that Jim isn't his father's real name, which like in a different teenager in a different show could just be like, oh, he was drunk and high. Like he didn't know what he was saying, but she's taking all of this very seriously.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate and I really like, and I do want to know more about what's going on with Audrey. Cause I think there's more there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing you were talking about, like you thought that we were going to find out that like Iris was her mom. I think it's like interesting. You know, I mean, I said very early on, when I was on with Josh about, I did worry about Dexter New Blood being the show that was going to tackle like missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be interested to hear from people. I should do some, I would like to do some research to see if like that story has people feel like it's been well told or not. And, you know, the season isn't over. So again, like you can't really, put a stamp on it until it's over. But I do think they're, you know, I think that the stuff with Audrey and her parents was to give her a connection to Harrison that's like more than just like, we love each other. You know, it lets their relationship be a little bit deeper, but maybe a disservice to Audrey to not want to explore any of that. I don't know where you like shove that into the show
it's necessarily, tough.
But you know, if this is more than one season, I could definitely be interested in exploring some of that.
Yeah, there are plenty of new characters that they need to dive deep into that maybe Audrey just gets a little bit of the short stick in that regard. But that being said, I do like what we are seeing from her. And I would be interested to see more because I like her instincts in a lot of cases. I like that. I mean, going back a little bit in the episode where where Harrison ODs, I like that her instinct is immediately to grab a cell phone and call 911, because every show, movie, everything I watch where they're like, oh my God, are you okay? For like 5 minutes drives me batty.
Yeah. She's smart. Smart cookie.
So we get Harrison. I loved this little like montage of Harrison basically looking exactly like Dexter in order to wear his uniform to clean trucks. I was like, ooh, it's creepy. We're seeing him like getting the garb.
Yep. The like face mask. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yes. And Dexter, of course, being the concerned father that he is, decides to go to the diner and like watch his son clean trucks.
Just going to hang out at work, you know. Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward. Nobody wants their parents hanging around.
I would have been. I mean, it's also terrible because it's like his first day on the job. I'm like, how embarrassing for him to be like, hi, Dad. What you doing here on my first day at work? Just here to spy on me? Okay, great.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Poor, yeah, it's sympathizing with Harrison here. My dad showed up on my first day of work at my high school job. I mean, he probably did actually. I worked at a gas station. He probably did come and get gas or something.
Did everybody know it was your dad?
I lived in a very, very small town. Like, I don't know how big Iron Lake is, but I grew up in a town of like 700 people. So yeah, everybody knows. Everybody knows everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, luckily I worked at a rest area, so my parents weren't just stopping by unless they were like,
well, unless they needed a rest. My parents must have been very tired.
Exactly. So we get Dexter sitting at the Caldwell Diner and Kurt joins him. Yeah. And it is tense. It's tense.
This is the first indication that Kurt knows that Dexter, like, they know. And this is like a pretty classic Dexter villain trope of like when they both know each other and now they're sort of trying to run from each other. I did not think we were gonna get Kurt is on to Dexter more than like, and this is where you're talking about that Kurt is smarter than I think the show has given him credit for. Yet for him to like, and I guess he's known for a little while because he says the like, you know, the day that like you picked, like that was weird that you picked me up and it was snowing. And then I realized it wasn't. Also, that's nobody else. This is absolutely disgusting that the
there's ash falling out of the sky and no one is just like, oh, hey, the snow didn't melt into my jacket.
That's ash, you know? What the heck? Also, does that happen often?
How small is this town where the ash from like some rando farm that Dexter like threw a body into is all the way coming down in the middle of town? Like, no offense, Dexter writers, but like small towns like this tend to be large geographically. So things are spread out, and especially if it's a farm, not going to be exactly close to the center of town. Yeah, kind of strange.
I think that actually he was like checking the way, he's like licking his finger, putting his finger up, and then he's like, okay, great, perfect, won't go in the city, and he like jumps it in the thing, and then immediately the wind direction changes, like, oh no.
I checked weather.com.
I did the finger lick. I put my finger in the air.
Yeah, so we get a super tense scene, and Kurt's like, I thought we would be great friends. And of course at that exact moment is when Angela and the cops arrive to arrest Kurt, which I love in shows when they do this, where it's always in like, it's never when like Kurt is like in the bathroom or like making breakfast. It's always when he's having a very important conversation with another character that he gets arrested.
Drama, baby.
And of course Harrison, first day on the job, sees his boss getting arrested. What's going on, coach? What's going on,
coach? Come on. I do like that Logan is Logan has changed his tune. He can believe that it's Kurt now.
Oh, but Serious Logan is like my favorite.
It's good. It's really good, eh?
Yeah.
Serious Logan. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so Kurt gets arrested. Molly arrives and she's just like, great, we're a team. Let's go. Like, give me all the tea from my podcast. And Angela has serious face on it. She's just like, why don't you tell me you were sneaking around with Kurt? We're done.
Molly gets caught here. She lied. Why didn't she tell her?
I think this is bad on Molly on many parts. I mean, right, oh, like absolutely. Going off with Kurt alone is a bad idea, but also just like not informing Angela, who is your source for all of this. Like without Angela, you don't have the information, the flow of information you've had, maybe from Logan, but Logan being Logan and not really believing a lot of the stuff. And also Angela's like the key member of this investigation. So not having her on your side is a huge misstep for Molly in terms of being able to do her podcast.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting that like the sort of Dexter being able to tell, I guess that's not true. Ultimately, actually, the whole secret hideaway actually like doesn't really matter. And I guess actually like as a result of Dexter and Molly going there, all like potentially a bunch of evidence is destroyed, right? So they actually do. It's a pretty big mess up actually here by Molly, right?
It absolutely is, yeah. Because if she is,
oh, also she would have died if Dexter didn't come.
That's the other piece. She would have died.
She would have died. Yeah.
Which again is very bold by Kurt, like knowing her position. Like he views her as an outsider, but she's an outsider who has an in with the chief of police. So yeah, I think many missteps by many people. But Molly has to leave. And then we get
that's the piece I was saying where when you're talking like, is Kurt smart? Trying to kill Molly was absolutely not smart.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe
yeah.
It's okay. I think what it is he's smart, he's intelligent in a certain way, and he's very affluent in the community, which helps his lack of intelligence in other areas. I think he has that like. Whenever you watch like a crime show, he has that like escalating behavior, right? Where it's like, it's almost like he cannot help himself. Mm-hmm. And so he mm-hmm. sees Molly and he gets this like, you know, surge of yeah. adrenaline of like, I must kill. But I think true. His affluence and his power obviously helps even things out.
People also don't have to be smart. It's like a very like TV thing that like that person fair. Is smart. So they have to be smart all the time. It's like, I feel like I'm generally like I can be a smart person. And every once in a while I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do this math at all. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Fair. My when I was growing up, my family would always say, oh, well, she's book smart about me right. because like I have no sense of direction. Like my instincts and like my street smarts are mm-hmm. not great. So I think there's different types of intelligence, obviously. And then we get one of my favorite lines of the episode when Dexter is just like, he needs to know what's going on, right? Like he knows that Kurt has been arrested, but Angela is not, obviously he's not working for the police. So he's not going to get every little bit of information. Mm-hmm. And she's about to go interrogate Kurt. And he's just like, I hate the view from the cheap seats.
That's a good line.
Some of the lines in Dexter, especially in the voiceovers, are so cheesy, and they
the narration is
so much
is the most cheesy part of Dexter. Yeah,
and I great. Love it though. It like it's so great.
It just adds to the like silliness of the show. You know,
it does. So then we see, and I didn't catch this right away. It took me. I think Will, my husband, caught it, and then I realized it later that fake Matt at the hotel. Is the guy who owns the truck Harrison is cleaning.
Oh, I did not pick up on that. That is a good, that's good.
I mean, to be fair, he's like a generic white guy, number one. Like yeah. he's, you know, but yeah, so he's the one who's like owns this truck that Harrison cleaned. And he's like, I'll give you $20 to move some cargo.
Okay.
Sir, in this economy, $20? Like, I feel like if you're going to ask me to move some like potentially illegal cargo, like I deserve at least $100.
$100.
No, inflation is real.
Is he asking him to move illegal cargo? Like I didn't.
I would assume that if some rando guy, some random truck driver is like, "Hey, help me move some cargo for $20." Like there's something sus.
I don't know. I mean, Dexter Harrison's also good. Yeah, I'm too trusting. Apparently,
Grace is just like, yeah, sure, why not? Must be like you know, gummy worms in there. No big deal.
Maybe transporting gummy worms from upstate New York. Yeah.
I still think it should be more money, but it's interrogation time.
Yes.
This is a great scene.
It's really good with Angela and Kurt here. Yeah, it's really good. Kurt is totally in like it'll be fine mode, playing it off. Like, I don't know what you're doing. This is the wrong job. And then also, you know, classic rich white guys like you're probably gonna lose your job because of this. That's like, that's bad, eh? You probably let me go because you're gonna lose your job.
Like, I mean, Lee obviously already hated Kurt because he's like, you know, a serial killer and everything, but like this really made me.
I was on the edge. You know, I could go either way.
Like, he's redeeming qualities. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then the thing that baffled me, and I had been saying this since very early on in the season, is like how they never checked the phone records for both Matt and Kurt. Finally, they do. And yes. Angela's yeah. like, actually, there were no incoming calls. And before you try to trick me and tell me that he called your office, I already checked that one. So save your breath.
It's good, right? It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, this is a thing of like if the people we're watching the show, if you're like, dude, are they going to check the phone records? And the showrunners know, like, don't worry, episode 7, it'll come up. Like, it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah.
It does feel like they are at least, you know, well, it's not clean per se. They are crossing their T's, dotting their I's here. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Angela, I mean, she has very good eyes to notice that Kurt has a scar on his hand. And I love how she automatically assumes, she's like, that has to be from Iris.
I kind of wish the bite was noticed, like, you know, give us Chekhov's gun way sooner than this, I feel like. Like, let us know, like, point, just for the audience, like, point to the scar, because it does feel a little like, I don't know.
So, I'm noticing this for the first time.
Oh, he got a bite. Oh, he got bit on his hands. Like, you know, I feel like getting the information in the reverse order, I think, would be more effective. And then have Angela notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says they found DNA proof on Iris's body, and they have. And Kurt's like, I didn't give up my DNA. And she's like, ahaha. Yes, you did. When we were looking for Matt.
Yeah.
This was a huge misstep on Kurt's part. Like we were saying, the varying levels of intelligence for him. Like, I feel like if you're a serial killer, never willingly give up your DNA.
Isn't it the whole thing that doesn't really, can't they just like find you a coffee cup in the garbage
the
or whatever?
Like Law and Order SVU is, they're like, do you want any beverages, any water, any coffee, anything? And then they take the glove and they take the cup and put it into a baggie after. And they're
that's why I never drink any liquids ever.
I'm so dehydrated every time I've been interrogated by the cops.
I'm very thirsty.
So Harrison, then we see Harrison helping out, fake imposter Matt. They look like kegs. I mean, I thought there was something going on. I was like, there's a body in these things. Like, maybe they're just kegs.
I was not sure.
Maybe the whole, I wonder if the whole reason, no, I'm just trying to think like what the purpose is in having Harrison help fake Matt. I was thinking like, is it to, you know, I don't know, to help him. Maybe it is just to move the kegs, because then he gives him like, oh, give this to your father. And it's like in a little envelope.
It's entirely the setup. It's Dexter says it later. We'll get to the scene where they are chatting, but this is power. This is a power play from Kurt to show Dexter that he has control over him, right? This is like, I can get to your kid anytime I want. And I'm in jail, right? He says it like, even behind bars, he's able to get to Harrison.
I just don't know why Harrison having to move kegs, like, has, you know, he could just give him the envelope. And I guess. Like, oh, hey, you cleaned my truck. Here's $20. And here's a little envelope to give to your dad.
I guess that's true. I don't know.
I think too deeply about this stuff where I'm like, what's in the kegs? Is it body parts?
No, we should be tracking how much money Harrison has. That's going to be important. Plot point later than
I mean, 20 you should extra have bucks. More. $20 is not enough.
And he gets paid. He gets paid his full salary here while doing this extra job.
He does.
Yeah.
So we see what it is. It's a screw of some sort. We don't know what yet. We know it's metal. So like we're like, what is
my this? Initial thought? I thought it was from the room. I was like, why did he give him a screw from the like hideout room, the locked room? I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Kurt's dumb.
He's like, look at this is one part of the room I disassembled when you and your girlfriend tried to check it out. Take that.
I thought it was like, and then I was like, is it like a metaphor? Like, oh, Dexter, you're screwed.
You're screwed.
I was like, God, Kurt loves a good pun, eh? No, that's not it.
Can you imagine?
See, I told you, I'm smart in many ways.
Nailed it.
It was a screw.
And then we get like a really sweet scene where we have Iris's mom just drinking coffee. And then like everybody from it, seemingly everybody from that area brings like her food and they have like candles and stuff. Because obviously she's gotten the news about Iris. Really heartwarming scene. I mean, we were talking earlier about like how we thought this show would tackle, you know, Indigenous women going missing. I did think this was a very sweet moment.
I thought it was great. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, we get Audrey and Angela there as well. Then we get the scene. This is where I thought the screw came into play. Uh-huh. Dexter was like, the screw obviously must be from the sheep pen.
Oh, I feel much better about my theories.
I thought he was going to like match it up, but no, he's just there to let out a bunch of sheep so that he could distract the cops.
What a plan. Poor Teddy. Just stuck at the jail cell all alone, and some missing sheep can bungle the whole thing.
Can I just say, I don't think Teddy should be a cop.
He's 2 weeks in, you know, he just started. He's got to, you know, I think, I mean, maybe not leave him. I don't know. It feels like
rough go of it.
I don't know. Yeah. Should he be by himself at the jail? It feels like such a bad
call. It seems like you shouldn't leave like jailers alone. I feel like sheep, prisoner. I think that you stay with the prisoner.
Yeah. I feel like in a small town, this is the thing where like, you don't call the cops. Don't go do the sheep. It's just like you call your neighbors and everybody goes like wrangles the sheep.
Oh, Joe's sheep are out again. Come on, guys. Yeah, let's go.
I don't know. But Teddy's got to go on sheep duty.
He is on sheep duty. And Dexter sneaks in. And of course you hear his voice before you see his face. He's like, it's me, Kurt. Your worst nightmare.
Yeah, from like behind the wall. You can just imagine Kurt being like, wait, what? Sorry, I can't hear you.
What?
Pardon?
Speak up.
It's me, Dexter. Kurt. What?
Oh, wait. Who's Dexter?
You gotta come. Oh, shoot. My alias. Jim. It's Jim. Mm.
Yeah, Dexter's like, you have no power. You're the one behind bars. Kurt's like, this is all temporary. You thought you could leave everything behind or leave. What is it? You thought you could get rid of everything, but there's always something left behind. Not even fire can erase our sins. This is when we find out. Yeah. That Kurt found ash on his jacket, which
I jumped ahead earlier.
No, that's fine. It's doesn't make sense. Again, reiterate, does not make sense.
Wow.
But yeah, we find out titanium does not melt. And I thought, so as soon as I saw the screw, I was like, after this whole thing where he says titanium doesn't melt, I was like, oh, Matt got in that boating accident and he had two screws in his head. And no, it was his leg. But it turns out that these titanium screws, they come in pairs, Dexter finds out. Should Dexter have known, maybe this is a stretch, as a forensic examiner, what is it, forensic scientist, mm-hmm. should he have recognized these screws as like, you know, body screws, surgery screws?
Probably, but then we don't get evil Kurt reveal. You know, we don't get evil Kurt. This thing is, it's kind of fun. I like it. I like the titanium. I don't know. I mean, there's never a payoff in this episode to there being two screws, right?
Well, I think the thought is that Kurt has the matching one. And so if Dexter tries to get rid of the evidence, Kurt still has one.
Oh, I see.
Right?
But it didn't happen this episode. So imagine.
No, but I think that's
check off screw.
Because that is why.
Yeah.
Yes, because that is why we see later Dexter going through his office because he wants to find the pair, the matching set.
Right.
So Kurt's like, I have reach even behind bars. Dexter's freaking out, man. He's freaking out. He's like, oh, Kurt's smarter than I thought. I mean, he's dumb in a lot of ways, but he has power in this small town of Iron Lake. I think this makes sense. I think that like Kurt has been sloppy, but he's been able to get away with it because of his affluence in the community. Tracks for me.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah.
We get Kurt's statement.
Should we go to an ad break?
Yeah.
Probably this one, like 40 minutes in. Sorry.
We're going to talk through Kurt's statement and kind of the implications of all of that. But first, let's go to a quick ad break. All right. So yeah, talk to me about Kurt's statement here, Grace, because this was a lot.
This is a lot. This is, and I do wonder how much of this, I mean, I guess we get flashbacks to show that it's true. So what I was thinking was like how much of his sort of tormented childhood results in him being a bad person, bad person, puts it lightly. He's a serial killer. But we do see that like his dad is like abusive to women. You know, what I did like about this scene is, you know, I think one of the things people get interested in with serial killers is it's such like an abnormality of like behavior for normal people. And then, but often serial killers have these like specific ways in which they do things, right? Like I think sometimes we get, you know, there's reasons why this, you know, the certain serial killers in previous Dexter seasons and in real life, the ones who like had patterns or things like that often are interesting. And I do think that, like, I think this is like sort of compelling television here where like we start to, through this story that he's telling, the confession about his father, that he believes that his father actually killed them, we sort of see like it starts to make sense the way that Kurt traps women and then lets them run away and shoots them, right? It's like a direct, it's like he's trying to get the high he got from the first time he killed Iris, right? He's trying to re-envision that scene, and that's why he gets so frustrated when the woman earlier on in this season like doesn't run away. She runs towards him and he has to like shoot her, right? So I don't know, I think that this scene, you know, for like, you know, this TV show, I think it works really well. It's really like chilling, because like, you know, there's a lot of complexity there to Kurt, which is that, yeah, he had like a father who like abused women, and who his father basically like not let him watch, but like subjected him.
He was around. Yeah. He had to sit in the front of the truck as he heard it happening in the back.
And that leads to Kurt doing what he does now, you know, it's like this endless cycle, which is like, you know, I think it's an interesting villain choice to have that be part of the story, because it was not something we really, you know, we have Kurt and his relationship with Matt, but that very quickly, you know, goes out the window and he like lets Matt, you know, his murder go unchecked or whatever.
But, and we've never, so also Kurt's mom like leaves them. She leaves town and doesn't take Kurt with her. And do we know anything about Matt's mother or Kurt, you know, who's his mother?
I don't
mother?
Think so.
That was intriguing to me as well. That like, obviously Kurt has a bad relationship with his mom, or like he, you know, he blames her for not taking him with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that like, we don't know anything about Matt's mom either. So I'm curious to know that part. I doubt we'll really dive into that aspect, but you know, interesting to think about.
I mean, this season really though is about like father issues, right? It's like Dexter's issues with Harry are coming, like, you know, sort of the first time he sort of come, maybe not the first time, I'd have to rewatch Dexter, and I'm not sure I can, you know, whether he has talked about before about like Deb basically being like, that was a bad thing your dad did. It's really bad.
And now Dexter trying to be a serial killer. Yeah.
Now Dexter trying to figure it out with Harrison, and now you have Kurt, his relationship with Matt, and then also now a relationship with his father that was super messed up.
Yeah, yeah. We get like basically terrible father-son relationships and absentee mothers, whether it's because they died or because they left, or, you know, many reasons.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so Kurt, then we get, I like the flashback scenes. I thought like it was very intriguing to have him telling one story interspersed with us knowing what actually happened.
Yeah.
And so Kurt tells a story of like, oh, his father, he saw his father pick up Iris and leave with her. And that's all he knows. And based on the track record of his, and my question is like, where the hell is Kurt's father? Like, I assume he's dead by now, but like, we don't know. We like, does this timeline match up? Like I want to know, like, I'm on the cop side of like, okay, let's corroborate this with anything.
I sort of imagine that the show doesn't really explain it and doesn't do a good job. But like, I think that in my understanding of this is that like Kurt's dad is from here, right? Like it's very clear, like, they talk about like, she asks Angela to ask Kurt about the caves and he's like, oh, like I used to go when I was a kid, you know? So he's clearly lived here. So his father must be from there. And so what I envision happened is like, this isn't a scenario of like, I think Kurt's father is dead, but you know, when he was alive, he would go on these trek routes. And one of the things like his dad took Iris with him one time because Iris like wanted to run away is like the story that like has been told. When in reality, that's not what happened. But I do imagine that like Kurt's dad was still like around on a truck. Like Kurt looks pretty young in the scene. Also, were you as worried as I was that when they have Iris get into the truck with Kurt and Kurt turns and he goes like, I'm Kurt. And it's like Kurt's like, it's like Clancy Brown's voice is dubbed over. And I was like, are they going to dub over? Like, were they, did they not like this like kid who like they thought looks like young Clancy Brown, but they don't like his voice. They're going to dub over Clancy Brown's voice the whole time. And then like the next scene, he's like talking normally.
That would have been a lot. He says
like, I'm Kurt. And it's like, Kurt's Clancy Brown's voice. I was terrified for a moment. It's too much. I can't do that. Dubbing? Yeah. No.
Can you imagine an entire scene of Clancy Brown dubbing over this young kid?
I know, this young kid.
So we see Kurt giving, you know, offering Iris a ride home, and she says, oh, you know, she's not going home. She's leaving town. We find out that Angela was supposed to go with her. They were supposed to run away together. And he's like, oh, you don't know what happens to girls out here. Obviously, he's seen it. He knows. And so she's like, no, you're not driving me home. So she tries to open the door and he tries to grab her. She bites him, which results in the scar that we see on Kurt later. And she runs away and he's just like, you don't know what you're doing, and shoots her with a rifle.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like, I mean, the fact that she's still alive when she gets buried later is like wild, but like, he must have like cleaned up all the blood. Like, it's a whole, I mean, this was like terrible to watch.
It's really bad. Especially like, cause you can see, you know, we know that what Clancy Brown becomes, you know, he's killed many, many women since then, but there's this moment where he's like, I'm going to drive you home. And you're like, oh, that's good. And she's like, I don't want to go home. And like, I don't know if I love that as much.
Her not
I don't
to go know. Home.
I don't know if I like that. And again, I think this is where like, I'm not Indigenous. So like, I don't know. I would need somebody else, but like, does that, you know, does that paint like how much, you know, I think we know this gives no, that is not a justified reason to like kill her. Right. Is that absolutely not. But also like, I don't know. Should Kurt have just been, you know, this is the thing where it gets really tricky with shows. I was listening to the Arcane coverage on the Post Show Recaps patron feed with Philly and Adam. They were talking about there's this villain there and he's very complex. And they were talking about complexity in villains and like having shades of gray. And I think that like, you know, shades of gray, like, you know, it's mostly bad here for Kurt. He's mostly very, very bad, but they do are trying to, you know, explain this thing that's happened. And like, in the moment he is not, you know, luring her into kill her, unless you're supposed to read that scene as like, I'm like, I'll drive you home. It's him not driving her home.
I think we're supposed to read it as he wants to drive her home because he wants to prevent something from happening to her, like what happened to all the women his father picked up, and her refusing, he gets frustrated and then he shoots her, which awakens, I assume, a dark passenger in him.
Well, I mean, and I guess that makes, like, if you think of every kill that he does and the reason why he's like, you know, it's this very weird thing where like when the girl who runs towards him rather than running away, when he shoots her and he's like, this is not how it was supposed to happen. There is a little bit of like, it's this is like very complicated. So kudos Dexter for like doing this of like, when she runs away, that's actually him. That's him protecting her from like other danger. Like from it could being, be so much worse.
She
if
could
I
be
didn't
beat
kill you.
And bruised and exactly. And gosh, all those sorts dark. Of things that
that's real dark.
It is. And I think it makes, when you put the pieces together of what we've seen of Kurt and his kills, the season together, it makes sense because I always speculated, why is he draining their blood? Why does he want their bodies to look perfect, right? Like he makes that really terrible arts and crafts project of the face mask over the green hair girl. And I think it's because he wants them to have some semblance of innocence left. He wants them to be like pure in a way.
Gosh, that's so effed up. That's so,
it is. So it is. And that, but that's where my mind goes, is he's like, he's protecting them from worse fates than death. And so by that, but my question is, right, so like I was, to me, and I had this theory of like, okay, Iris had to be his first kill because it's very messy. It's very sloppy. It wasn't planned versus all these other kills. And like, what is he doing with the bodies is my question, because like, they're going to peg Kurt down and not, I mean, obviously Dexter might kill him before then, but to arrest Kurt and actually get something on him, having a body would be very helpful.
I do think like the scene with like her, the arts and crafts of it all. Kurtz and crafts. I do think we will find the bodies preserved in some way, because I do think like the idea that he like brought her to the cave, whether or not he meant to preserve her, like she did end up being preserved. And so there is this like the comfort in the routine of a serial killer could lead me to believe that like all of these bodies are somewhere. And
I thought the end of the season we're
going to find them.
Yeah, I thought when Angela came into that cave originally, she was going to find a bunch of bodies like set up having a tea party or something.
I thought so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because like his whole thing is he wants them to have some semblance of innocence, I think is what it is.
And you can see this thing where he's like, yeah, they're safe now. You know, it's disgusting. Ooh, yeah, it's terrible.
So we hear from the DA that there's only a 63% chance that it is his DNA. Obviously, familial relations will screw things up, so it could be his father's DNA, like he's saying. Kurt, so the good news is it does seem like Logan is like on to Kurt. Like Logan no longer is on Kurt's side from their cold interaction as he leaves.
Definitely not. Gosh, 66% chance, never want to take those odds, you know.
Yeah,
not great odds to take. 66%, like two thirds. You never want to take those. I tell people all the time, you have a 66% chance?
Nope.
No.
I wonder if it's because he's affluent in a small town, it's not enough for them to think they'll get a conviction. And maybe they're just like, we'll let him go and then we'll have people following him all the time. Although it seems like there's like three cops in Iron Lake. So I don't know how that's possible.
I guess I just like, I mean, maybe it's coming next episode, but don't you just like, I don't know. I guess the DA is saying like it's not enough to keep him on. Like, I just think like the interaction there when she's like, oh, like it's not enough and he'll be like, oh, and she leaves. Isn't the move to be like, all right, get a warrant for everything he owns? Like, that's a 66% chance in his DNA.
I feel like it's enough to get warrants,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, but maybe that's coming. I will, again, the show, every time I'm like, plot hole, they're like, we are filling it in as you speak.
Yeah. Next episode. Just wait till next episode. We'll fill that in. Yeah, that's certainly possible. But meanwhile, Dexter is picking a lock on Kurt's office to look for the surgical screw that is from the missing set. He cannot find it. But he does find, maybe this is the generic white man number one, that pays, Harrison $20, Albert Kane. He got $5,000.
I did not put those two things together.
Yeah. I mean, that's my guess. I don't know for sure.
No, it's a very good, I think you're absolutely right. Like it. I was clearly not following I was like, oh, I guess he's getting paid by this guy. It's very nice. Nice little gesture. Oh, he's got a screw. It's cool.
Yeah, it seems just like, if I had to guess, I mean, Kurt has a knack for picking up people who are down and out on their luck and using them to his advantage. And I think this is like a very common thing, you know. They look for the easiest target. And so maybe this guy needed a job. He needed money. He needed help. And Kurt lures him to his side. He gets him to trust him and, you know, vice versa. And now this guy is his lackey, basically.
No, it's good. It makes sense.
Yeah, because it also puts one degree of separation from Kurt and the actual acts being committed. If, you know, if this guy's hiding the bodies or doing whatever.
I also like that, like, Kurt is like, he's rich and he like runs this business, but also like not like billionaire rich, right? He's just like runs this like truck stop in a small town and a diner.
Yeah,
and like
he's rich for Iron Lake.
Yeah, and like he doesn't have a crew. This is not like a mob is gonna come get Dexter. This is like one dude, and I don't know, it works to me. I'm a big fan. When we were watching the James Bond movies with Jessica Lisa over on the Patreon feed, I'm a big fan of like the henchmen. I'm a big fan of that, like, here's the guys, like, I'm gonna send them to come get you, and then you can like dispatch. Absolutely, we'll see Albert Kane be dispatched by Dexter before the end of this season.
Oh, if he doesn't get Kurt,
Albert Kane is a
goner. Yeah. So Kurt gets released, and we get, gonna have to kill him. And we get this meeting between Angela and Molly. I love how Logan is just like, Molly, can you just like go talk to Angela? Like, I think she needs some girl talk right now. Like, she looks pretty upset. Like, if you don't mind, like, she's at this bar and she has no friends. Like, can you go be her friend?
Yeah. Sweet.
It's terrible. And yeah, so they have this whole conversation about Kurt, and Molly says, you know, I get creepy vibes from Kurt, and Jim showed up right at the right time to save my ass. He said he was just driving around. But Angela tells Molly, which I love how open Angela is to Molly about everything all the time.
It's great. Always. I like their relationship a lot.
Yeah. And she's just like, oh yeah, Jim said he overheard you all, but Molly's like, can you overhear what they're saying over there? Cause that's not true. Like he definitely, and then she being the genius Molly is like, he definitely recorded us. Cause he set his phone down next to us.
I quite love that when they say like, can you hear what they're talking about? And it's the like shop owner from episode one that like Jim never goes to his job, but
yeah,
we do have this like this character, this like couple.
They're arguing about Garfield for sure.
They are 100%.
And Angela's like, you know what? It's also weird that he was eating pie with Kurt after he knew that Kurt was my suspect. You know, which spot on, Angela.
Well, yes, but also like there is like logical explanation for Dexter to be at the like logical is like stretching it, but like
yeah,
he kind of like is there like he's at the so and again this is something that like Angela like if Dexter said this like well like freaking Harrison like got the job without me like signing off, which maybe like Angela could like be like don't let him do it, but like whatever, Harrison went and did it. And he's like, well, if that's your prime suspect, I'm going to sit at the diner and like watch and make sure my kid is fine all day. And then freaking Kurt came over and sat down. And if I like say like, I'm not talking to you, like, I guess they had that fight at the wrestling match or whatever. He could be like, I'm not talking to you. But like, it's like you don't want to spook Kurt as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like that one is a bit of he was eating pie with Kurt. It's a bit of a stretch.
I think if you compound it with the fact that he's been lying about his identity this entire time, you'd be looking into everything.
True.
But yeah. And then we see Kurt stalking Molly. It's like, Kurt, you need to just let it go. Yeah. She's a bad, bad target for you, bud.
Has it ever been in the show when like the person is sitting in the car like watching from distance, like the person never spot them? They never seem to spot them.
They never spot them. And especially because Kurt is like a very affluent member of the community, I expect someone to just knock on his window and be like, hey Kurt, hi, hey, how are you?
Everyone are like walking by the car be like, hi Kurt, very loudly. You know, like, Molly's like, are you
just
watching?
Just one chance. I'd love looking? To see that. And then we get, you know, the result of Harrison breaking that dude's arm. We get a bunch of wrestlers from that team approaching him. And they're like, yeah, you're gonna pay, man. Time to rough you up. And Harrison just immediately pulls out his switchblade. Like, all right, bro. Like, God, things escalated very quickly.
Come on.
And he like slices open the one dude's arm, and then Dexter is there to save the day. Just so happens to be lingering around the corner like a creepo.
Always around, Dexter.
He's always there. Yeah. And Dexter wants to talk to Harrison, and Harrison is like, you know what? I'm messed up, and I always have been. He's always had nightmares. And listening to the podcast, like, basically brought up all these memories he had locked away. Mm-hmm. And he's like, they weren't nightmares. They were real. I remember everything from when he was a baby and Rita was killed.
Yeah, it's, I think, you know, feels like we're on the verge of Harrison and Dexter sort of, you know, finding some common ground, being able, you know. Ooh. It's just bad. I talked about like, you know, do we think this is like eventually like a season two, the like Harrison story with Dexter Dark Pressure? I think I've changed my tune on that. I just want Harrison to be fine, you know.
I just want him to be okay.
Yeah,
I don't think we need that. But yeah, it's interesting. And then pretty sure this scene is not from the original Dexter, where we have like the up close and personal John Lithgow being like, don't you worry, your daddy will be here soon.
We don't. That's, it must be like, it must have been filmed, but it's not in the show.
I was very excited because then this gives credence to people's theory that he could be Harrison's dark passenger.
Oh, the Trinity Killer? Oh
yeah. You didn't know that. No. Oh, that was in our Discord. I apologize to whoever, I think it may have been Riley who had speculated that John Lithgow was Harrison's dark passenger. And I think if you think about like the timing of everything listening to the podcast, you know, reopens those old wounds for him. And then maybe possibly John Lithgow is his Stark passenger. I mean,
the Switchblade, all the, yeah, I can see it.
Which the other thing is like, okay, how old is Harrison? He was literally like an infant. Like, I don't even know if he could walk. Like, he was an extra small. Like, can he recognize faces from that long ago?
Yeah, but there is like, you know, when Dexter is scrolling through the podcast,
oh, the picture.
You see Trinity Killer's face. So like, this Fair. Is definitely a thing that like Harrison could have like Googled and searched and been like, that's the guy. And then he's like seeing him in his head.
Fair.
I just think I kind of hate that this is like where my brain goes. Like, I've watched so much television, but they're like, I don't think John Lithgow is like filming stuff for this show. So yeah. It would all be like in his imagination, like all have to be in his imagination or from like they like reuse footage, but I don't know.
Yeah. It would be fun to get him on the show for like, even just like one scene would be very cool, but I agree with you. He's probably not there. But yeah, Harrison says he thinks about hurting people all the time, doing what the Trinity Killer did to his mom. And he's like, you've always known I'm messed up. That's why you left. And we see Harrison just leaves with some random dude. And then Dexter gets captured by most likely Albert Kane, if not some generic white trucker guy. Yeah,
I think it is. I think it's like explicitly him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where we leave off. Like, huge.
Not before what Dexter does say. He says, I think it's time to tell Harrison everything.
Yes.
And then he gets kidnapped.
Amazing. Attacked.
Yeah. Fun.
Dexter's going to get out of easily, but yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Albert Kane is that guy's dead.
He has nothing on Dexter.
very fun.
It was a great episode. I really liked this episode. I really like the forward momentum of the show. I feel like they're doing a good job of like spacing things out. I think we were a little frustrated in the beginning where we're like, we know it's Kurt, we know it's him, just tell us it's Clancy Brown. Like, it's very obvious. But I think we're to the point now where like every single episode has like, you know, an intensity to it and like a oh my gosh, this scene to it that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I was not expecting, I don't know, so much from like who Kurt is as like a serial killer. I wasn't, you know,
yeah.
I should have perhaps given more credit. So I think especially with this being the showrunner who did the first few seasons, like I think the first few season antagonists to Dexter are like very well thought out. I think that this show, like, this is a show that could have struggled with like 10 episodes with like every episode getting a little bit more information or there being like a little bit of a twist in the plot, you know, going down a different path than maybe we expect. But I think they're doing a really good job. This was episode 7, so still 3 more episodes to go. It feels like it's really ramping up. So I'm excited to see where the rest of this show takes us.
Do we think that, I mean, I assume that this is the only season. If this is the only season, I mean, we have to get by episode, 9, Dexter revealing to Harrison, you know, that he has a dark passenger and he's a serial killer and all that, right? Like, it has to happen by like episode 9.
If I'm like, again, I just said, I try to predict things and they're wrong. But if I was like to predict it, I would bet that like this next episode is mostly Dexter getting out of that. And at the end of the episode, cliffhanger is like, hey, so I have serious. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. But all in all, I'm really enjoying Dexter New Blood. Still enjoying it. But yeah, this was really fun. I enjoyed this really episode. Fun. Hopefully Josh will be returning next week to talk to you all, but Grace, what do you have going on here lately?
Yeah, so we wrapped up our Succession coverage with one final feedback show this week, so that was very fun. Also very sad that now no Succession for probably like more than a year, but I think the whole season is very fun. If you know, I think that that show, to me, the best show on television. So if you have not checked it out, I would encourage you to go back and start from the beginning. There is season 2 podcast coverage with Josh and Emily, and now there's a full season of coverage with Josh and I, so that's very fun. Also doing lots of movie coverage on Post Show Recaps. So last week we covered, we covered West Side Story, I think. That feels like a long time ago. But yeah, West Side Story. And then this week we'll be covering the new Matrix movie. In addition, we've done some bonus podcasts on the Patreon feed. So consider becoming a patron at any level. You'll get those bonus podcasts. We covered the 3 Matrix movies and the Animatrix leading up to this new movie coming out. Very excited. Yeah, and then twitch.tv/dmphilly Tuesdays, and occasionally on some Fridays, we play some Dungeons and Dragons games. It's very fun. Yeah, follow me on Twitter at HiFromGrace.
Amazing. You can always find me doing community building on post-show recaps where we're covering the show community. We've been off for the last few weeks, but we will be returning next week with some new community content. And then, like Grace was saying, the Succession podcast, highly recommend checking out that show. It is amazing. And then you can always find me on Shit 90s Shows Taught Me, talking all 90s content, mainly Boy Meets World, Dawson's Creek. And then we did some holiday bonus content. We covered the Santa Claus and we covered Home Alone, and then coming out very soon on Christmas Day will be Sarah and I going through all the Friends Christmas episodes and ranking them. I have to say is Thanksgiving episodes are better than the Christmas episodes, but it's still Friends, it's still good stuff, so go check that out as well. You can find us at Shit 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram and shit90spod.com, and you can always find me on Twitter at the Jess Sterling. I always retweet and tweet everything I got going on, so go check that out. As Grace said before, to get tons of extra content from Post Show Recaps, become a patron, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. You can become a member of our Discord where we just have so many conversations going on about literally any and every show. A lot of Spider-Man No Way Home conversations happening, as that is like the hottest new thing to be coming out. Hawkeye's had some amazing stuff coming out as well. So go check that out for the holidays. Give someone a patron membership if you want for, yeah, you know, the holidays are here.
A lovely gift.
And it's a cheap gift too. You can get them like a 6-month membership for like, you know, real cheap. So consider doing that as well. But I think that's all the content we have for you today. So thank you all for listening. And hopefully Josh will be back to talk to you next week about the next episode of Dexter New Blood. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.